And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I'm not a... When you go to a public speaking class, they tell you you're not supposed to chew gum or do the cough drop thing, but I'm just hanging in here today. So I'm not a bumper sticker fan, truth be told. I've never had even one bumper sticker on any of the 9 cars that I have owned over the years, starting with the 1967 Dodge panel van. $200. Ran me $200, and I immediately dropped a $200 sound system into it. Anybody remember those days? You could see the earth passing under your feet through the floorboards that had rusted out. It was a wonderful vehicle, but don't get me started. I have never had a bumper sticker even once. I do not begrudge people who do bumper stickers, though I can't help myself sometimes. A lot of rudeness out there on the road, right? And then there are those who get carried away. But a few of them I found to be either amusing or provocative. Can I get an amen? Or this one. You know who you are. And then finally this one. That's my personal favorite right there. Some have suggested that if we really want to capture the whole of Christian ethics on a bumper sticker, we would be hard-pressed to do better than the last verse of our text this morning, Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? In fact, I've seen that on a bumper sticker. Maybe you have too. Looks like that. Of course, the problem with bumper stickers, or with tweets for that matter, is that they're too easy. Too easy to talk the talk without walking the walk, or should I say, too easy to rant the rant. It's what the prophet Micah understood, what he grieved. See, 700 years before Jesus showed up, before he came to redeem this planet, Israel, God's people, were in the midst of a revival. The temple was packed. Giving was ahead of budget for the first time in like forever. Only it wasn't spiritual revival, it was superficial revival. Mile wide, inch deep revival. And Micah saw it, understood that something was wrong, something deeply and profoundly wrong with the community of faith. Israel had become arrogant, uncaring. And so the prophet pictures God in this way, that has God taken the people to court. They've committed a crime, don't you see? Selfishness is criminal, according to God. And so God has summoned this great cloud of witnesses, host of witnesses for the prosecution. Has summoned the mountains and the hills and the very foundations of the earth as witnesses to hear the charges and review the evidence. That indeed there is selfishness in the land. That the people have forgotten God's generosity to them. Forgotten that theirs is a God who delivered them out of slavery. A God who gave them a home. And they have disregarded that love in how they are treating one another. So God makes the case. And what happens? Well, as usual, the people miss the point. They think God must be asking them to just dig a little deeper, you know. Add a few zeros to their checks. Which, you know, isn't a bad idea. You are. How about if we go with, like, say, 1,000 burnt offerings, God? How about if we up the ante, make it 10,000 rivers of oil? Will that do the trick? Or you want that we should sacrifice our firstborn children? I mean, what's it going to take? It's what we do with God, right? What we do when we separate our religious ritual from our behavior. Because the so-called sacrifices these people were proposing did not please God. No, God's looking for something more, something deeper, something that may seem harder, but ultimately something more fulfilling, more aligned with God's purposes in the world. You want to know what God wants? Micah asked. He's already told you. He's already told you what he wants. And since it appears that you have forgotten, well, here it is again, a three-part recipe. Part one, God wants us to do justice. We're not told to like justice. We're not told to think justice is a good idea. We're not to assume other people or structures will do it for us, but do it ourselves. And what does that mean? Well, it means, biblically speaking, to be a voice for oppressed people, for any unprotected person, for widows and for foreigners. Amen. Thank you. For children, for the vulnerable among us. It means we fight for the rights and access to basic human services for handicapped persons, for minority and elderly persons, for the poor, for anybody and everybody treated as anything less than God's very own child. I was at a worship and preaching symposium this past week held at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Got to attend a seminar presented by some folks from the International Justice Mission, a ministry that Park Avenue has had a history with over the years. And one of the presenters told her story of how God called her to answer a justice calling. It was the day that she saw a poster of a young girl with a single tear running down her cheek. And two sentences written next to that image: slavery is alive, and rape for profit must be stopped. It was the beginning of an education for this woman about a reality in our world horrific beyond our imagining. The fact that some 35 million human beings on this planet are owned by slave masters, evil people who use violence and lies to entrap the most vulnerable of victims. Or the fact that today, locally, the Twin Cities has been identified as having one of the highest incidence rates of child prostitution in the country. Over 200 young girls sold for sex every single month in our community. And on it goes. But rather than being overwhelmed to the point of becoming paralyzed by those statistics, her life since that moment, that hard moment of awakening, has been given to the oftentimes slow but perseverant work of joining with God to make a difference, giving her life to the cause of biblical justice in the world. It's why I've been so encouraged by many of our friends here at Park Avenue who have refused that paralysis as well, joining together this coming Saturday for a 5K run through the Target Center concourses, an effort to raise money to fight human trafficking. It's called Off the Streets, an event anticipating the Not-So-Super Bowl, which will be coming to Minneapolis 1 year from Saturday, February the 4th, 2018. And with it, as Super Bowls do, bringing an influx of literally thousands of victims to serve in the sex industry that week. This is not a run with a cause, It's a cause with a run. Amen. Amen. A way to rise up and say, not in my city. And you can join Paul and Candace Herkman. Pete and Joanna are involved in this event. Our friends at Venture. Join them by running, by walking, by sponsoring somebody who does run or walk, by helping to provide hospitality at the event, by praying for those who participate, all kinds of ways to get involved, to take a small step with others that those impaired by injustice might be restored. We've put a link on our website here at Park. You can get more information. Please do. Please do that. Do justice, Micah says. And love kindness. Anybody else feeling like we could use a little more kindness in our world just now? In our country just now? In our community just now? In your household just now? People who come to me in preparation for marriage often want to know the secret. What's the secret of a happy, fulfilling marriage and relationship? And so I tell them. I tell them what all the research has shown, what it's unequivocally has shown, that you have to have enough money to be happy. Wealth and prosperity, that's the secret right there. I tell them, no, actually got to have a great dog. You got to have great in-laws. Got to have a terrific sex life. That's the secret. No, actually, it's a car. Got to have a nice car. You'll be happy then. Assuming they have not left my office yet, I tell them the truth. What all the research has shown. You want a happy, fulfilling relationship? Try kindness. It really is just about that simple. Nothing else comes close. And the biggest predictor of relationship failure, it's what some have called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling, which happen to conspire to bring about emotional disengagement. Kindness is an antidote to all of that, a fruit of the Spirit, and people who follow God's lead in their lives become the lovers of kindness. Yes, yes. I love stories of kindness. This one comes from a waitress. Happened last year. Instead of bringing the firefighters at her table the check one morning, she brought this thank you note instead. Turns out that those men had just spent the last 24 hours fighting a blaze at a local warehouse, and this woman, this waitress, had found out about it, and rather than handing them their bill, she gave them this note that she'd written on the check. "Your breakfast is on me today," it read. "Thank you for all you do, for serving others and running into places everybody else runs away from. No matter your role, you are courageous, brave, and strong. Thank you for being bold every single day, fueled by fire and driven by courage. Now go get some rest. Love, Liz." I added out one little part there. See, being kind is within the reach of everybody, isn't it? You don't have to be old enough. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to be wealthy enough. You can just do it. And so can I. We can do that. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. I said a moment ago that what Micah is serving up today is a three-part recipe, and by that I mean you can't pull the ingredients apart, right? In order for the soup to taste good, you need all three ingredients: justice, kindness, and humility. It's because an arrogant justice simply does not provide lasting change. It's because kindness, by definition, can't be arrogant, right? The Bible says love is patient. It is kind. It is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Rather, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It don't fail, love. And God will honor our effort to be advocates of justice and practitioners of kindness when we humbly acknowledge that we can't do any of that on our own, that in and of ourselves we are not enough. We do not have what it takes. We will mess it up every single time. But thanks be to Almighty God that with the powering of the Holy Spirit and by linking arms with one another, why, we really can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me? God of all faithfulness, you've called us to be a new community. You've given us Jesus as a living stone, the cornerstone of our community. And forgive us, Lord, whenever our fear or our anxiety uproots our faith, whenever our worry or our blame breaks our friendships, our marriages, our families. Help us to learn from those who express their faith in different ways, Lord, and help us to discover new ways to witness in your world. Reconcile us, Jesus. And God of hope, you, the one who groans and hears the groans of the prisoners, the one who liberates those in despair, the God who comforts. Bring hope to the homeless today, Lord. Bring healing to those in pain. Bring strength to the weak and the lonely. Speak your saving health into all the dark places of this world, that a generation not yet born might come to praise your name. Reconcile us, Jesus. And God of love, we want to celebrate the greatness of your love, so that we would no longer be divided by the smallness of our own love. Forgive us, Lord, for being so focused on our own needs that we neglect to build your kingdom, your everlasting kingdom. And save us from considering as normal anything that is an offense to your love, Lord. We praise and thank you that Jesus left his royal throne to be a refugee, so that we could be welcomed into his family. Help us to never forget that as we answer the call to reach out to the refugees around us. Help us to bear witness to the love of Jesus to anyone who feels like a stranger in this world. Release us, Lord, from self-love, and Holy Spirit, keep your love aflame in our hearts. Reconcile us, Jesus. Amen.